All right. It's not going to be me preaching, but we are going to hear a few testimonies. And Marshall, wherever the lovely man is going to share with us. That was a great song just before testimonies. Can I pray with you?
Yeah, sure.
Father, I just thank you for Marshall, and I just thank you that he's been willing to come to share with us and to join us and to do life with us here at Crescent Baptist. And what a blessing he has been in my own life. And I just ask that you would bless him many more days, and his son as well, and the rest of his family too. In Jesus' name, amen.
You stand up here all the time in front of these people, and you speak into this microphone, and yeah, I don't think I'm cut out for it, my friend. Well, I appreciate this congregation so much. You guys have been such a help in my life, encouraging words, just scripture that you guys point out to me. I just can't thank you all enough. I came to Christ at the age of 12. I attended David Thompson Bible Camp, and it was a bit of an eye-opener for me. I wasn't raised in a Christian family, so God was not something that we discussed much in our home at all. The Lord's name was used in vain, and there was not much thought about it. My mother, she had a bit of a trucker tongue, and she managed to use every curse in the dictionary, and yeah. When attending Bible camp, it was clear to me that something was different about these Christian people. They were always happy and joyful. They didn't talk poorly about anyone. They were very honest and concerned about my salvation. My salvation, that was something that I'd never really thought about much. Not till that point. I would listen to the pastor preach daily, and I would read the Bible during our studies. I started to pray for the first time in my life, and it was during one of these prayers I asked Jesus to enter my heart and to fill my life with the Holy Spirit. This was exciting for me. I felt like a new person, and I was excited to share what I'd discovered with my parents. I got home from Bible camp, and I told my parents about what I'd learned and what I'd done, and that I now considered myself a Christian. I wasn't met with the response I was expecting. Instead of excitement that I was expecting, I kind of got a cold shoulder. My parents were not excited about changing their ways, and they were really not excited about having a 12-year-old telling them not to use the Lord's name in vain. I ended up not having much support or discipleship, so I kind of fell away from biblical teachings and what I'd learned. I'd still find myself praying to Jesus every night, just didn't really practice or demonstrate Christian values for the next 20 years. In 2016, I started attending church again. I was in a valley. I was convinced that the only way I could have peace in my life was by improving my relationship with Christ. I was dealing with the fallout of living a life of sin and the fleshly desire. I found myself at rock bottom, and I couldn't understand what I needed to do to change my life. Just knew that I could find the answers I needed in the Bible. As I started attending church more often and Bible studies, I'd find more and more of what I needed. The answers I needed started falling into place. The character development that I was requiring was happening. I was able to let go of a lot of hurt and pain in my life. I'd held on to it, and in myself I was bitter. I was able to pray to the Lord to let go of that bitterness. I was able to forgive people I never thought I'd be able to forgive. And now all I could do is preach the gospel that Jesus was sent to die for our sins, that he conquered the grave, and eternal salvation is offered to anyone that believes in him. He is the light in the darkness, and he will bring peace, love, and joy to your life if you seek him out. That's my testimony.
Thanks, Marshall. I wouldn't worry too much about your presentation. You did just fine. Gary is going to come and share with us now, too. Again, I just want to say, too, just remember to thank people when they share their testimonies, because it is a pretty vulnerable state that we're sharing. Not that we give everything, but we are sharing a lot of personal things, too, and an exciting time, a low time, high time, because we are made low to be risen and to made high by him. So, anyways, thanks, Gary. Can I pray with you?
Sure. Okay. I can use all the prayer I can get.
Father, I just thank you for Gary as well, and I just thank you that he has been willing to share with us his testimony. And I just ask you to just bless him and bless his words and bless his life as he has committed here to be a part of us and to go forward in the name of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks.
Merry Christmas. As I had contemplated on what I wanted to share, this is the first time that somebody's ever asked me to share my testimony. I was raised in a Christian home, or sometimes I would think there was more of a religious home, but we went to church every Sunday, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. But as I look back and as I looked over my childhood, I know some had wonderful childhoods, and I think mine was more mediocre. More not so good to good times. The only thing that I remember really about my dad is how he really tore me apart. What he'd called me was dumb, stupid, liar, wouldn't amount to anything. I couldn't do anything good. I never really got any encouragement from my mother. She had her favorite son. But the one thing that I do remember, when I was around 5 years old, God gave me a vision of himself. I saw from the knees down, but I saw the most beautiful garment. And I know I saw the feet of Jesus. I didn't understand at that time what that would really meant. But as I look back over, it was God saying to me, I'm there. He knew what I was going to go through. I had no idea. Growing up in the church, I could tell you the cliches and everything that Christian circles use. I knew that there was all that kind of, there was something wrong. But what I ended up doing was I ended up building walls around me, because I wasn't going to let anybody get close to me to hurt me, because all they're going to see was that call me was a liar, stupid, not going to amount to anything. And what I was doing was I was pushing God out, because I figured that's what God was going to do too. But yet God in his mercy had shown me that he was still there. I struggled for years. The other thing that my dad taught was that men don't feel. Men, that was just women's stuff. That's girl stuff. Don't worry about it. Men don't cry. Men don't show emotions. Till I read a book by a Christian psychologist who said at every man's gathering that he does men seminars, he starts listing off words and he says to the guy, I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. And he's going, love, joy, peace. And he says, 99% of the time men said, a woman. And he said, I describe to you Jesus Christ and he's male. That really hit me like a ton of bricks. I was told in childhood that I had to be perfect or God was going to take and strike me and hit me, destroy me. I didn't want that. That's why I built the walls. And in that time, I was pushing God out of my life. Even though I'd asked him into my heart, I just said, you know, so far. And I was pushing, and what I was doing, I was pushing not only God out, but I was pushing people out. People weren't pushing me out, I was pushing them out. And throughout the years, I went and got married, but yet I was still pushing my wife out, my kids out. I didn't want anybody getting close to me. And the whole time, you know, trying to understand, to experience God's fullness, it wasn't really happening because I wanted it, but yet I didn't want it. You know, when you're pushing God out, you're not going to experience it. Experiencing God from a distance. And because I was pushing people out, that contributed to my marriage failing, going through a divorce. Those were the darkest days of my life. And at that time, I was driving truck, I was doing long distance, and there was like 3 or 4 days that it took every ounce of strength that I had in me to just drive 3 or 4 hours, and that was it, I was done. And I just remember crying out to God. Said, why? And God says, open your Bible. So I did. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to open up to Psalms 23. We know this chapter off by heart, but if you got your Bibles, open them up. I want the words to jump off the pages at you. And the verse one that really hit me was, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And at the time, I looked at that and I said, okay. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I read that, and at the time I just took it as a comfort that God is saying that he's there with me, he's walking with me. And when I got back up to Edmonton, I said to the pastor at the church I was attending, I said to him, I said, told him what had happened, and he looked at me and he said, God gave you that chapter because I was praying for you in the Psalms. If it wasn't for that man praying for me, and I don't think I would have I would have lasted. And then as I went along, I start to look at this more and more, and I thought, well, the Lord is my shepherd. What kind of shepherd? And if you go to Isaiah chapter 9, which was already read this morning by Howard, the names of God, a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's the fullness of God. And I started to realize and look at it that God wants me to experience His fullness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Was I have to rely and trust God. You see, when I built the walls, I really didn't trust God. But God brought me here to Creston, sat me down, and took everything away. Said, now, you are going to trust me. I'm going to show you. I had to learn to let go of everything in my life. The bitterness, the anger, any of my dreams, any of my hopes, anything that I personally wanted to do. I had to let go. Give it to God. Or I'd lose everything. When you hang on to something so dearly and you don't want to let go, you end up losing it. And you can lose a whole lot more. It's a struggle. It's hard to let go. It's a mountain you've got to climb. But God is there with you. God is there with me, and He is with me. The walls had to come down. And since I've been here in this church, in this town, those walls are coming down. It's because of the love and the acceptance that this church, you folks, have shown me that the walls start to come down. And I appreciate the friendship and the fellowship that I've had so far in this church. When I look at the fullness of God, the Wonderful Counselor, I think of blessings that He pours out. Words of encouragement that I get from you. The words of correction. That's the rod of correction, the staff of comfort. The guidance through His Word. Leading through life, He leads beside the quiet water. He stills us. He gives us rest. He's always with us. He restores our soul. The mighty God, the greater is He that is in me than that's in the world. We have to learn, and I have to learn to be still and know that He is God. That's a hard thing to do. We want things done right now. God, I want it done this way. You know, when we don't want to be still, do we really trust God? Be still and know. He guides us, He protects us. That's the mighty God. His hand of protection is upon us. Even though I go through dark times and struggles, I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in Romans 5. It says that we rejoice in our sufferings because of what they teach us. What it brings us, perseverance, character, hope, that the love of God can be poured into our hearts. He sustains us. He loves us. And the one thing that I've really struggled in all of this was the everlasting Father. See, my Father was never there for me. So I had a hard time that God being there for me too. Because all I hear is what my dad said to me. And it's taken a while for me to understand that God's not that way. God loves me. And to understand the love of God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." I took that word "world" out and I stuck my name in there. That he loved me, that if I was the only person that needed to be saved, he had to come down and still die on the cross. It's hard to fathom. You just get a glimpse of it. He is touched with our infirmities, with what we go through. By his stripes we are healed. This here, the communion table, is because of Christmas. He died for us. He died for me so that I could have life in him. But not only that, but he brought healing. The physical healing, the spiritual healing, the emotional healing, the psychological healing. That's what he did. He poured his whole self to save me. He poured his whole self. He gave everything that he had for us. It's the fullness of God. It wasn't partial. He brings us peace in times of trouble. Even with everything going on and raging around us, he gives us peace, inner peace. And he sends his Holy Spirit to help us in that, with that peace. I've experienced some of that peace in times of trouble, to know that, yes, that's what God does. He says, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives." The world gives us pieces, but God gives us peace. I've really climbed a hard mountain. And there's a song that has meant a lot to me, and I want to play a video of it. I want you to just look at the words and just let the words sink in. Well, I face a mountain that I've never faced before. And it's very meaningful and touching, that knowing that, yeah, I face it, but yet God is there. His love is there to help us up that mountain and to help me to face the things that I need to change in my life. But I can only do it when others are help or praying, and I appreciate your prayers for me. But I know that God is doing the work in my life, and I know since I've been here, he's helping me change, and I thank you. We'll play that video.
That I've never faced before. That's why I'm calling on you, Lord. I know it's been a while, but Lord, please hear my prayer. need you like I never have before. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Forgive me, Jesus, I thought I could control whatever life would throw my way, but this I will admit has brought me to my knees. I need your love, and I'm not ashamed to say sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so much stronger than whatever troubles me. Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain trust you and believe. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Trust you and